And the Colts have had a hard time all season covering kicks. It's Hester trying to work it back to the middle. Gets past the first wave, and here he goes. It's Hester inside the 30. Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown. And no flag, 92 yards.
One of the greatest moments in Chicago sports history. Should never have happened. But it did, and we're all standing there, slack-jawed, saying, no, no, oh my God. And there he went, and then it didn't end well.
I mean, it did for Bears fans.
Well,
not the game.
We don't talk about the game.
I thought you were just talking about
everything
the
ended
play.
Right there.
No, the play ended fine, but...
Well, no, the game ended on, like, the Colts' next possession where they had an interception. That's when the game ended.
You know what I keep thinking about a lot, because obviously, like, this is a team that I covered, like, every day, including being the last person out of the convention center in Miami because I was hosting the Scores pregame show. So I got a bus ride a shuttle bus ride all to myself to the game. I got to my seat as the ball was being kicked off.
No.
And to see all of the... Is there even an equivalent now? I guess it would be cell phone lights. But to see all of the flash bulbs go off and see Bears fans. And my whole thing was, I was just fuming because Tony Dungy had lied to me. I was just absolutely just like, this, he said he wasn't going to kick off to him.
But then he said it was divine intervention.
He said
did he know it was for us.
Yeah, it was divine intervention. Yeah. And he and I talked it out.
Right. See, that's how you know not to trust, you know, that.
Tony and I actually talked it out on football night in Chicago, and he remembered. He is like, I remember you asking me. I remember what I told you. I apologize. But when I went back, I looked for some strength from the Bible, and we said we weren't going to be scared. So we kicked off to the scariest man ever.
You say you should have been scared.
You should have been.
But Bone Crusher says he's not ever scared either.
I think
that's right.
He's only scared of LGBTQ freedoms.
He's definitely a little scared of that.
That's the only thing that really scares
me. A lot scared of that.
I thought about that today, actually. And I was like, you know, that divine intervention, maybe it was there, but maybe it was just for Chicago instead.
I got to tell you, I actually think that might have been my greatest week as a professional. Because my favorite radio moment of my career happened that week. The final Bears report on Friday with him, with Dingus and Boers.
Hello.
Is that the name of the show? I thought it was a different show.
Whoa, look out! Ducks!
That week, it was all, everything was surreal.
Because that Bears report with me and Zach was my favorite piece of radio that ever done. It was just off the wall. These guys were insane. Jason was just whatever he could to derail us. Whatever he could drop to derail us, he was doing, and it was great. Maddie was there. Like, we had a wonderful time. And that was 3 hours after I saw Prince in a room with 200 people.
Where he just answered you all in music.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So there's that. There was the great interaction with Amanda Nunez, who was the Hooters girl, who just kind of hung out with us the whole week.
Because you guys weren't creepy, right?
We weren't. And we were
only,
like...
Only with Matt Hasselbeck's mother.
Yes, we were with Matt Hasselbeck's mom, but she was into it, so it wasn't creepy.
Consensual creepiness.
Yes. And Amanda Nunez hung out with us because we had all the Krispy Kremes. And she was like, no one ever thinks to feed me here because I'm a model. So she would just come over and be like, guys, can I have some more donuts? Sure.
You mean she was objectified and not like considered to be her own person?
And she just like, we'd see her like, hey, what's going on? And then there was another incident with another Amanda, speaking of the Olympics.
Wink.
That went on. And that went on during the Bears report. And then I told Layla, I don't know, maybe you were. I was talking to the guys about this. There were a lot of Bears that I saw that week.
You did tell me about this.
On South Beach.
And you're like, wait a second. This is 40 miles away from your hotel.
Yeah. And then Saturday, I think, was my favorite because there's nothing to do. You're just waiting for the game to happen. Me, Zampillo, and Maddie are on South Beach. And I was like, hold on, guys. I'm pretty sure that's Thomas Jones. And I'm like, oh, it is TJ. So I go talk to Thomas Jones. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, I have a house right over there. I'm like, what? He's like, I haven't been to it all week because, you know, football.
Team hotel.
Yeah. And then you come in and you watch Devin Hester give one of the greatest moments ever in Super Bowl history. So, football night in Chicago, we were trying to get Charles on and we were trying to make it all work with his schedule. We got him on because he played with Julius Peppers and he blocked for Devin Hester. Studs, are we starting with the moment of the kickoff?
I think since we're there, yeah, let's do that.
This is what Charles had to say about that moment. So, like, you know how we were all taking in that moment? Here's what it was like for him on the sidelines.
I have a little bit of a different story of that. That was the same year that Ohio State and Florida played the national championship, and Ted Ginn Jr. took the opening kickoff back for a touchdown. And I was like, oh, it's a wrap. Ohio State finna win this game. And Chris Leak and Tim Tebow, they go do their thing, and they win a national championship for Florida. It was the same exact thing that I thought about. Excited, stoked, yo. He took one back. He's going the distance because it was the first one. It was the opening kickoff of the Super Bowl. Again, I was excited. At the same time, I thought about the national championship with Ted Ginn, Ohio State, and Florida. So I sat in my chair. I don't even think I got up. If there's a film out there of me, I actually sat in my chair and just watched it. Was like, hell yeah. But I wasn't surprised. Do you know why? Because I saw him do it time and time again. So for me, if anything, I expected him to take the kickoff back. Excited, but at the same time, I was very reserved and like, hey, we only took 30 seconds off the clock. It's 14:30 left in this game. So let's calm down. Let's go do it again. We got that success. Shake it off. Let's go do it again.
I'm not surprised that that is his, like any of the defensive guys like of that era, it doesn't surprise me one bit that that's their mindset. Because they had seen so many weird things happen.
Looking at the clock.
They had seen it. They had seen the crazy game in Arizona and winning a game, like that game, winning a game where your quarterback turns the ball over 6 times. They won a football game with, and he told inside, you can listen to the entire conversation on House of L, and Charles told the story of being in the locker room in that game and Olin like dead ass being like, we're going to win. And that's all he said. We're going to win. And then there's a great video of Lovey's speech. You know, Lovey wasn't a guy that cussed and he was so calm. And he's like, look, everyone, we're fine. Everyone just needs to do their job and we're going to be okay. And then they come out and they have this incredible second half. And the only thing about that game that sucks is I think that that game lost them the Super Bowl.
Oh.
If you don't lose Mike Brown.
I was going to say, because he got hurt and.
Didn't Tommy Harris get hurt too?
I know it was that game. I think
both of those guys were missing from the Super Bowl. And I say if either one of them had played in that game, the Bears would have won.
Well, because Mike Brown would not have been out of position like Danielle Manning
was.
Well,
and Mike Brown would have been better covering their running backs running into the flat constantly and just...
But most importantly, he wouldn't have been in the wrong defense.
But also that, yeah.
And if Tommy would have been there, because if you go look at that game, sure, it's Peyton Manning's first Super Bowl, and people think that, well, Peyton Manning carved him up. That's not what happened. It was their run game. And Jeff Saturday, you want to see incredible offensive line play?
He used Tank Johnson.
He would turn Tank Johnson sideways at the point of attack. And that's why they had, I think, over 200 yards rushing in that Super Bowl. But they won that game, but I feel like they lost the Super Bowl because they lost Mike Brown.
It's worth
the Liz Frank injury.
It's worth another watch to me. Now that I am here. And we can do that. We have access to those secret tapes.
Hell yeah.
For a one-time payment. I feel like that might be something to rewatch.
I've never watched that game again.
You should watch it again.
Nope.
I mean, for you, I understand. But for me as an observer, not living here, watching it is different from now living here, you know?
You know what else is really nice in that game? Rex Grossman's touchdown pass to Moose Muhammad. Like, that's a very cleverly designed and well-executed play. People talk about Keenan Allen's routes. You want to see a pro route?
God, Moose was such a great receiver.
You want to see a pro route? Watch Moose Muhammad on that touchdown.
One of my favorite guys in the locker room, too. Even though, you know, he could be a politician, but I always enjoy talking to him. Another guy that Charles was teammates with was Julius Peppers. Julius Peppers is also going into the Hall of Fame this weekend. And it's almost like Paul Bunyan, like the stories that we tell about Julius Peppers, but some of us lived it. I lived it from being someone who was observing practices, and Charles lived it in plays, but mostly looking back on film because you're doing your job. Here's what he said it was like to be teammates with Julius Peppers.
We had characters. We had great guys. More importantly, we had chemistry. We had a brotherhood. We had a bond. And having all of those characteristics, and then you got this massive human being who was quiet, and then he saw how we were and how we interacted. If anything, I just think it helped him even more to just open up and be this flower that blossomed into a bigger, more awesome Pep in Chicago. Peck never stretched. We would do all the dance and stuff. We would, you know, we would dance. It was like this competition at the D-line and the linebackers would do. And they did like this stretch dance. And they would kind of do this thing every day. And Pep would just sit there like this with his helmet on. And he just wouldn't move. And yo, what's up, yo? And he would just sit there. And we're all stretching and doing all this stuff. We tight. So we trying to get all loose and everything, get ready for practice. We go do our pursuit drill. Like Devin ran, Pep ran Devin down. We do a pursuit drill. Pep's the right corner or right DN. I'm the right corner. And I got to get in this long, long pursuit angle. And I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to be like third to last. I'm not going to be last. I couldn't even catch Pep when I got in my run. That's how fast this dude was. And I'm normally I pride myself on not running people down. I pride myself on being able to run somebody down if I take the proper pursuit angle. I did it to Adrian Peterson, so I feel like I have some wheels on me. I could not catch this man. That play right there in practice, oh, he's special. Oh, he good. He is the real deal.
I remember what Brian Urlacher told me, and I'm like, you're kidding. And I said, hey, Julius Peppers, best football player I've ever seen. He said, what? Because I always say what, because I never understand what Brian Urlacher
says. I'll say this about Peppers. He's the best football player I've ever seen. He is phenomenal. He's 300 pounds. He does things that DBs are doing. He's just, I don't know how we got him, but I'm glad we did. He's unreal.
Yeah, and like we're in break. I'm like, seriously. He's like, no, I'm serious. The best. He's the best football player I have ever seen.
I'm so glad that like Charles, because I tell that story all the time of seeing it. And it's so interesting to hear it from a player's perspective, because I just remember being like, I'm not seeing this right.
Yeah, glitch in the matrix stuff.
Because that's Devin Hester. And where did this 6'7", 300 pound man come from?
He ran down Michael Vick.
Yeah.
Just force of nature observing him from the other side. And what's funny is we're talking about this Bears team, and those were the players that you knew if you didn't live here. You know, you understood the power of Devin Hester. You understood the talent of Machine Muhammad, for example. You those were things that you respected. And Rex had been famous to college football fans for a long time, obviously.
Rex was a runner-up for the Heisman. I mean, exactly. The guy was legit.
Exactly. And then Julius Peppers was on another level. Like, you feared that person. he struck fear in the hearts of any snap
you
were watching.
If you created a player like him on a video game would go, no.
And if you want to talk about, if we really are talking about striking fear, like actual fear sometimes, through the whistle, end of the whistle, lining up against this person all day, every day. That was number 76 for the Bears. And the fact that Mongo McMichael is going in, a guy who, when he retired, was the all-time leader in NFL sacks for defensive tackles.
Yeah, and I think that people have done a good, and we'll talk with Jack about this, but I think people have done a good job of kind of reframing his career now and understanding that it wasn't just because he was standing next to Richard Dent and Dan Hampton. He was a driving force to why that defense was really good. So I'm happy that he's getting his due as a player. I'm so happy that he's here for it. Because that's been, I think, the fear for all of us, is that he wouldn't get an opportunity to see it, and his family wouldn't get an opportunity for them to enjoy it with him still being here. And thanks to the Hall of Fame for making the concessions, because obviously he can't travel.
It's been the video to see how people found out they were going into the Hall. That was one that like moved me emotionally. And then just to see the way people talk about him. I do want to share this too. If people are interested tonight, I got this information from his publicist. There is a Hall of Fame game watch party at the Butcher's Tap, and funds will be raised for ALS United Greater Chicago. So that is going on tonight. That's in Southport if people want to go.
One more thing real quick, and we'll get to Jack. I see a lot of people, when we talk about that Super Bowl, they mention how they wish Thomas Jones would have gotten more opportunities in that game. I will just tell you, from knowing TJ, and we've been like going back and forth about trying to get him on, but he's got a new series, a new season of his series on Bounce that is coming out this year. He's like Studs. He can't watch that Super Bowl or any Super Bowl because of what happened in 07. He makes a point to, and anyone who's seen Thomas Jones, like, he's in the gym, and he makes sure that on Super Bowl Sunday, he is in the gym when the Super Bowl is on. That's why that guy, even though he was only here for two seasons, is a lot of people's favorite Bear, because there was no reason for him to not be a Bear beyond the 2008 season. But that thing that you feel about Thomas Jones, he feels about Bears and Bears fans.